So, where to begin? With whatever happened at Cornucopia, I don't know really how to put it. It was an event, sure, but made it through. After everything that happened, I've just tried to put it behind me, but you can't put that stuff behind you. So, I did a bit of digging. I found some stuff that wasn't too right. Took a toll on my marriage. Left the divorce. You know, I'm hoping Elias is holding everything together fine back home. Hope keeps my name out of the news. Don't want my kids seeing that. Tobias. No, it's Tony. Tony's the name. District attorney up in Maryland. We were told that things happened. We've been blamed for a number of murders. Guy's hot-headed. Doesn't seem too bad, though. Also, aside from the fact, you know, threatened to throw us under the bus. We've been flagged in Maryland and in Florida for those murders. Couldn't have done them. We've been busy doing other stuff, but who knows why we were flagged for those. Either way, gotta fix this. Can't be letting this get out to the news so that they can figure this out. Pizzarelli got us some stuff. Social security number, driver's license. What I don't understand is why they haven't already thrown us under the bus for this. After everything I've heard, it seems like we'd be easy scapegoats. Can't be anything too special about us. So why not get rid of us now? Save him some trouble? Maybe it's just because we're the easiest people to try to fix this. Give us a chance to fix it. Or maybe it's just cleaner to let us get ourselves into trouble so it's easier to get us thrown under. But, lady down in Florida was someone named Clove. She's the person who recruited us. And the victim of Maryland, she was a rubber stamper for CPS. Put all the kids in Cornucopia, let them get in. Can't say she didn't deserve it, but a horrible way to die from what I understand. Something's just not adding up, and I don't know what it is, but we can figure it out eventually. By God, I'm not going home until my name's cleared, or I'm dead in a ditch 6 feet under. Split track here, speed it in somewhere else. You know, I never really wanted to think about Cornucopia again after what happened there, but horrible things happened, and I'm sad that I didn't get to deliver an actual good justice for those kids, but putting the people down that did it to them is good enough for me. We did a raid, killed a few people, burned the place down, saw something horrible, and launched a grenade. Didn't hit where I wanted to. Hurt someone I didn't want to hurt, but turned out fine. I can't stop thinking about those kids, where they were, those conditions, how they lived. There's not much we can really do for them, and the worst part about the system is we're probably going to end up seeing them again. Just on the wrong side of the barrel from where we are. I hope it doesn't come to that, but knowing how stuff works, that's probably what's going to happen. Split here for easy of editing. Cornucopia is the source of all the bad things that have happened so far in my life, is what I'd like to say. I really can't, though. It's all my own fault. When you see bad things happen to people, it gets hard to separate it out from the rest of the bad things in the world. And you start to internalize it. I couldn't spend time with my kids. Just see the faces plastered in my dreams on the faces of those kids that were at the house. Couldn't spend time with my wife. Got too deep into trying to figure out what went wrong at that place. What horrible things happened to lead to everything that happened there. And it broke me eventually. Not in a bad way, not in a good way. But I knew when she handed me the divorce papers, it was a long time coming. When she pulled up, it felt off. And when she handed me those papers, it opened my eyes. Nothing I could do to save my marriage, though. We're still on somewhat decent terms, but it is what it is. Best I can do now is make sure I raise my kids the best way I can. And by God, I will not be in jail for when it happens and my grandkids are born. That ain't happening.
You know, this is meant to be a young man's game, and if there's one thing I'm definitely not, it's a young man. But that's the way it is. My name is Frank Bryce, but you could call me Frankie. I'm currently 79 years old, and I don't think I'm going to be around much longer. Got my wife, Deborah, and my daughter, Susan. And thanks to whatever the fuck I got myself into with these people, I got a family that I can be proud of. Grew up in Boston my whole life, and, well, yeah, as an Irishman, you either fall in with the cops or you fall in with the mob. And, well, I fell in with the latter. Just got out of the Rangers and was working the odd job as a delivery driver. Next thing I know, some idiot by the name of Eddie is hiding in my truck. Because, well, it doesn't matter, does it? We don't talk about Eddie anymore. He's gone. Good fucking riddance to that prick. Anyway. People think that I'm just a humble delivery driver, and that's exactly what I wanna be. Through shady stuff, I got my wife's bakery. We got the money, we got everything set up, and now we got a nice little place to ourselves. But I wanted out of the mob life, and there's one problem, you don't get out. Not easy. When I got offered that job in Maryland, I honestly had no idea what the hell I was in for. Fucking cornucopia, my ass. The things I saw at that farmhouse. That fucking crazy old lady that turned out to be something from... I don't even know. And the biggest amount of friendly fire I've ever seen. It's a fucking miracle Rowan got out. Fucking miracle she doesn't remember that I'm the one who got the grenade launcher. But anyway. And now, here I am on a plane to Washington, D.C. Having worked with an organization that's even shadier than the mob. Now I gotta ask you, how the fuck do you manage that? But you fall from one place to another and, well, I fell from one shady place to another and in return, you know what I got? I got a kid with a PhD. A practicing doctor. Now, I ask you, what fucking delivery driver in Boston trying to compete against Dunkin' Donuts with their home-baked groceries, with their home-baked goods, has a daughter that's a doctor? I'll save you the trouble. None. And if this is a Faustian bargain I gotta pay, fuck it. Everything I did so that I could make sure that the people I cared for got what they needed, what they wanted. I ain't going to heaven. I got too many skeletons in my fucking closet. But hopefully, maybe St. Peter will be nice and let me see them when they go up or when it's their turn. I'm too old for this. I ain't coming back.
I just cannot believe this is something we have to deal with now. No offense, this was kind of a sloppy job to begin with everyone except Rowan even knowing what the hell to expect. I thought we were saying kids from an abusive place, not some hellish being. I'm so thankful I was avoided this creature. I probably wouldn't have agreed to this if I had. It couldn't have been more botch of a mission if you tried. We clearly didn't know how to handle that kind of supernatural stuff back then. Hopefully we are more learned now. It would not be the first time we all dealt with cleanup before, I'm sure. Just wish it wasn't cleaning up after ourselves. Beginner's mistake on our part, I'm sure. Rowan was blindsided by her handler, and we were just hired people to do a job. It was the beginning of quite an ongoing adventure, to be fair. Nothing I would want to brag about, though. All I can hope is that we can fix this mess before it spills into our lives. I've worked way too hard to make sure my baby boy has no idea what's going on. Plus, compared to before, I know what I'm doing, or at least what to expect. The worst I ever saw from this first mission was Rowan after the explosion. Bordeaux better not have any explosives again. I didn't expect to see Tony in there, though. If I'm correct, it's the only reason we even got a chance to clean after ourselves. Might sound unfair, but it was us that blew up that poor excuse of an orphanage. I wonder what his life is like now. It's been, what, at least 20 years since I last saw him? I hope we can bring him some good news quick enough. He looked like a disaster in there. I'm so confused, though. How is something that happened more than a decade ago coming back now? Why now? What triggered it to happen? So much happened since that first mission. What could have possibly made it come back now? Why are our names even involved? Why us? There has to be some connection, however minute. Maybe something in our past? Maybe something beyond us? Can we even figure out why we were chosen in the first place? I wish this wasn't some big cleanup to do with our real names involved. This can only spell disaster if any of us make a wrong step. They have to have chosen us in some way. They clearly knew things about us. They must have had some kind of qualifier to pick specifically the five of us. That would be the key to clean everything up, most likely. I have a reputation to keep. Any suspicion that I have something to hide, any opposing lawyer will have a field day with this. Don't think about that, Lucy. Being a lawyer is only a tool now. You have bigger things to worry about. Maybe my old friends will be useful here. Wait, no. That's a terrible idea. Contacting outside agents would only put me into more trouble than we are now. I would have to explain why I know them to begin with, and I would have to trust the others not to talk about it. You only need to share what's relevant to the mission, so I guess it can become relevant if we are really deeply into trouble. Last solution, and there will be no coming back from it. The organization is a lot of things, but lenient on traitors is not one of those. I'll keep the number close. Sometimes the result is all that matters. What do we have? What can we work with? This started with the cult, which... this makes no sense. I tracked where it started. Their cult was dismissed a few years ago. I saw it on the news. Their whole business was blown up. I made sure they wouldn't harm the kids again. I went out of my way to make sure they would be dismantled. I nearly put myself into a lot of trouble to do this, knowing I could get removed by the organization for my involvement. Would the others do the same? Would they share unless it's necessary? Should I share this? This whole thing is giving me a headache. It's been so long, some of the details are fuzzy. And even back then, I knew better than write down things that could be found. There has to be things that seem banal and unimportant back then that will be needed now. If there's one thing I've learned from doing this over a decade, is that sometimes the smallest of detail is what makes everything fall into place. We need to understand what they want, what the goal of the killings were, what is their plan. Until we know this, we'll just be led to wherever they want us to be. Planting our names has to be intentional. There was a goal to this, even if it's as simple as just getting us arrested. It nearly worked, if that was their goal. We are in trouble. We were nearly removed entirely. If it wasn't of Tony's involvement, there would be no second chance. And we can't screw this up. I won't allow us to screw up. I'm not ruining years of hard work over some lunatics ruining lives again. Those fucking cults shouldn't have any rights. I knew I should have moved into politics. Maybe we should find the kids. Who am I kidding? Even I couldn't bring myself to bring any of those poor children back into this shit. They were traumatized enough. We don't need to add more to them, make them think it's coming back for them. Well, I guess we should start at the beginning. Look up the place of the murder, collect information, and piece it together. Even if we are personally involved into this, and our lives depend on us succeeding, it isn't that different from any other mission. Even the lives on the line part isn't that far away from normal. Maybe that's the best way to look at it. It's just a mission. We were debriefed, we know what our goal is, and we have some resources to get to the end goal. That's all that matters, doesn't it? The success of our mission. Regardless of how personal it turns, we only have one goal. Clean up after ourselves and clear our names. Business as usual. Yeah, That's it. It's just a mission. It's the same as usual. There is nothing to worry about. It isn't our first rodeo. Literally. We already kind of know each of us. We have worked together before. We can succeed again. Deep breaths, Lucy. Just focus on it being business as usual. Ignore all the bad things that could happen if things go wrong. It's not the first time you have no power over the results. You can deal with this. Panicking about consequences is only going to make things worse. Business as usual, Lucy. You have teammates. They have shown themselves before to be competent. You know what you can do. You have dealt with worse. And when everything is over, you could treat yourself to a weekend to a spa. You have been looking for a reason to take time off. That should qualify. I need a fucking cigarette.
Hey, everybody. So, this is Alex. I guess everything here is going as expected, as much as it possibly can, really. We're wanted for murder. You know, little things like that. Wanted might be a little bit of a overstatement, understatement. Mass murder, maybe? Horrible things, horrible things. 57 bodies were found. However, I know I didn't do any of those. I really hope it's not all of the children, and maybe it was adults they found, but I feel my, honestly, outlook on everything might be better in life overall if I just assumed they were adults who deserved whatever that was. Probably not reality, but ignorance is bliss, as they say. I don't know what kind of office we just left or anything like that, if that really was an office, but I feel that Tony, as, you know, they're being called by some people, might be looking at Lucy for that one. Not the biggest fan of mine, or I his. But, I mean, we have a person down in Florida who, quote-unquote, vetted us. I don't think they have very much to vet anymore now that they're expired. As for this other person up here in Maryland, the rubber stamper lady, while I'm upset that she's dead, because obviously that draws attention to us, can't really say that I'm super upset that she's gone, considering she put all of those kids in there without even so much as checking into anything, really. Just okaying them to be sent there. It might be something of a comfort, as I have to go through airport security again. Of course. Random screenings. Who would have thought it would have been me? But, you know what? It's fine. Ain't got nothing anywhere for them to take. You really don't know how any of these people are taking all of those weapons with them. Suppose it doesn't really matter. As long as they have them, and I don't have to explain it.
Hey Sophia, it's me. I'm just leaving you a little voicemail here and everything, let you know that I am on yet another flight. You'll never guess who got randomly selected. in the whole TSA line. Anyway, I'll be back shortly. I'll let you know when I'm back and everything. You know, going to Florida might not be such a bad thing. There's some nice looking people there, right? So we'll see how that goes. I will text you later. Have fun.
All right. Where were we? Ah, yes. Going through all of the flights. Let's see. We're going to go down here. Can we actually solve anything in order to clear our names? What even would be involved in that? We should probably figure that out. Lucy might have some information. But, I mean, what are we going to find? Like, a little note that says, hey, I actually did all of this. I do wonder, though, whether or not we're going to be able to save any more kids from this. I have a feeling this entire thing is not completely done, which is just horrible within itself. The new name, though, Xander, that's some weird stuff right there. I'm really used to having an A name, but it's close enough. It's close to the Alexander. They just have to remove the first part of my name, I guess. That's fine. We'll see how much I can actually respond to it, I suppose. I should start calling myself that in my head. That way, whenever I hear it out loud, it'll be a little bit easier. But then I have to remember all the other people. Let's see. Catherine. All right. Lucius. Weird name. Don't know why anybody would have... Come on. Come on, Sam. That's... Bordeaux. Ah. Rowan, though, being called Mercy. That's... You know what? If anybody... Nah, don't think that. She can't hear your thoughts, but I'm fairly positive she'll be able to tell what you're thinking. Kind of wonder if she's actually like that old man. The blind one. He did disintegrate into nothing. But it could be she has some type of connection like that, I suppose. Rowan's a little bit out there. It'll be fine. At least she won't shatter into a million pieces and then disappear on me like he did, I guess. But she does have very good taste in coffee, if nothing else. We can at least find something like that to get around any location, I suppose. Hopefully she's not like those grunts in Afghanistan that just constantly were okay with whatever that powder was they had in those packs. But those packs, though, they did save us a few times, not gonna lie. That's fine. I wonder if the plane will stay on course. We had all those flying things go into that window. Let's see. Sparrow, a raven, a crow, a bat, a white dove. Those were kind of like the kids' pets, I suppose. But those things wouldn't be up in the air with us. I mean, getting sucked into an engine and everything might cause some issues, I'm sure. That's not really something that I would like to completely experience in my lifetime, I suppose. Though it does beg the question of what other animals we might come across if that is something that's happened. Those TV stations that they keep talking about with all of the animal attacks kinda sitting wrong in my head. Should probably think about something else. Don't want to invite that to just be something I see consistently. Wonder if I can get alcohol on this plane. They might charge me. Who knows? Maybe. Should probably look up some stuff about this Baba Yaga thing. Maybe there's some type of folklore that we missed or something like that. I mean, it's not too odd of a thing for myself to look up. I'm due writing, after all. Maybe I can pull some old contacts or something like that for folk magics and stuff like that that I've done research in the past. But I don't know. Maybe it's just a name that they've given this person. But it is something that they said they blew up with a literal... I still don't know how he... I don't... You know what? I'm okay not knowing how he got that explosive. I am not hit with it, which is really what counts. Though, I guess they could make for a very interesting series of books. Somebody with just a lot of firepower overkilling things to the point of, I don't know, insanity, I suppose. Though, maybe not the best thing to release currently. We should probably keep an eye out on the news. Figure out if our names end up getting mentioned at all. That many dead people, that could definitely bring way too much interest into us. I am curious to see whether or not the people that we're going to go down and see will know our faces. They had our names already, so I'm sure they might recognize at least part of us. But then again, a lot of people look like everybody else, and you don't get to notice everybody.
As Rowan drove down the highway, heading towards her destination, she couldn't help but let her mind wander over the events of just the last 48 hours. It's hard to believe how things had become so upended in such a short amount of time. Just 2 days ago, it was like the events of Cornucopia House were far beyond them, long forgotten. And now, it was all coming back. It's like it was all happening again. And all those bodies they found, she was pretty sure those were the kids that had gone missing before they came on into the picture. I mean, there were so many of them, and why wasn't anyone sent in to rescue them sooner? They were just babies. They never should have been left to that on their own, let alone left to fend for themselves against such monsters. I mean, if those monsters could almost take her out, the things they must have done to those poor little children raced through her mind, horrifying her. And she knew it would be several days before she slept again, at least properly. You know, a few hours here and there doesn't really give you enough, does it? More than that, though, her mind drifted to her kids. Sweet little Abby, 10 years old, innocent. The only care she had these days was how well her team was doing at soccer and how well her grades were doing. A few more years and it would be makeup and clothes and boys, but for now, she was still a kid. And there was Timmy, but he was almost grown now, almost out of the house. Really self-sufficient for the most part. He'd been with her the longest, and she'd been taking care of him for, well, since the day she walked into that orphanage and found him. But it was Becca and Stephen, for the most part. Because if the events of Cornucopia House were coming back to chase her, what were they going to do to the two kids that she had rescued from that dark place? There was no telling what the repercussions might be. And she made a note to make some calls when she got to the hotel room. Other people who had adopted these children needed to know, and something inside of her told her that those kids needed to go to ground. They needed to be kept safe. They couldn't be dragged back into this mess, not after everything they'd been put through. Most of them had adapted, grown up well. They were in therapy, they were in school, events, going to parties, and being almost normal kids. They would never be totally normal. That's not possible when you've seen that level of trauma. But they managed. And for the most part, they were thriving. It was good to see. And it gave her hope that there was still some good in the world, no matter what she faced every time she was called out. But there was also that warning that Stephen gave her just before she left that kept running through her brain. Anytime she wasn't focused on this thought or that, it would slip back through. Don't forget to duck when the moon is the brightest. You know, it was uncanny. I mean, full moons had the tendency to make weird things happen anyway. Everybody knew that. Especially when you worked in law enforcement or hospitals or anything of the sort. And having been with the CIA as long as she had, Rowan definitely knew that the crazies came out on the full moon. You know, she'd seen her fair share of weird, even in her mundane job. Not to mention everything she'd crossed paths with in this other life that most people didn't even know about. So, she was also always cautious on the full moon, but this time more so. Like, what was she walking into? And she really hoped whatever she was ducking moved slower than she did, because she wanted to make it back to her kids, preferably with her head still firmly seated on her shoulders. They were still young, and she didn't want them to have to bury their mum. Especially when they had already lost so much. I mean, all four of her kids were adopted. They were orphans at one point in time. Timmy and Abby remember their parents well. Abby's dad was another agent, and when the call came in that he needed to retire, Rowan took Abby and kept her safe, kept her away from it, and gave her somewhere to feel loved, where she wouldn't be alone. And Rowan hoped to God that if the day ever came, she would have to retire before her kids were ready. Someone would take care of them, too. I mean, she knew that Andy and her mom would, but if they couldn't, she hoped somebody else would step in. And what about her teammates? I mean, the last time she had seen these people, they were walking out of her hospital room while she was recovering after being partially blown to bits. And seeing Babushka, Baba Yaga. She'd, for a while, dived into fairy tales and folklore and mythology about old witches and grandmothers, things hiding in the shapes of grandmothers, in a hope that something would click, that something would start to make sense, but it never did. And she knew going into it that it never would. There were still so many unanswered questions over the years. I mean, she'd seen so much. She'd done so much. She'd been all over the world chasing monsters. The things that go bump in the night and live under your bed, hide in your closet. And half of it still didn't make sense. And the half that did terrified her. Because she knew it was there. And it was her job to make sure other people didn't know it was there. And she knew that one of the other things she was going to do when she got to the hotel room was double check that her will was up to date. Double check that there were letters for all of the kids, all of the family, and a few good friends back home. But more than that, she was going to call a few people she hadn't talked to in a long time. It was time to call Crow again. She hadn't seen him in years, and that wasn't normal for them. But for some reason, after the events of Cornucopia House, she withdrew, hid away from some of the people she used to call family. Maybe she was just trying to protect the kids. Who knows? But it was time to renew those connections, and maybe, just maybe, they'd all walk out of this okay and not get arrested or worse, killed. Or even worse than that, possessed. I mean, at the end of the day, I think possession was the worst option running through her mind. Being able to know that your kids think it's you they're interacting with, and they're not. The thought terrified her. The lights of the cars passing her were monotonous. Sometimes the spaces were seconds between, sometimes minutes, but she barely registered them. Same with the lampposts and the signs as she drove down the highway. Eventually, she spotted the turnoff for the hotel she was heading for and checked in. She knew that the others were making their own way here, but she needed a few hours of peace to get her head on and try to start processing everything that was going on before they dove back into this mess. With a deep breath and a sigh, she let out a silent prayer that whatever souls were lost at Cornucopia House were safe, and that whatever they were about to walk into wasn't nearly as bad as what they had done before.